Welcome to the Prosperity Podcast, fresh, alternative personal finance talk for independent thinkers who prosper outside of Wall Street. Here's your host, best-selling author, Kim D.H. Butler, and no BS money guy, Todd Strobel.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Prosperity Podcast. This is No BS Money Guy, Todd Strobel. Once again, we have our co-host and best-selling financial author, Kim Butler, with us today. We have a conversation today on how to appreciate the alternatives. And I'm just going to kind of leave that hanging and say, welcome, Kim.
Well, thank you, Todd. And I have to really commend you because you've come up with some great subject lines that we're going to be talking about. And I'm super excited for them. And I really thank you for always just being out there scanning the news, listening to what's going on, and coming up with great subjects for our listeners.
Super. Well, I'll kind of set the groundwork for this in that we were looking at a government-controlled interest rate environment. And I mean, I don't think that's really debatable. The rates aren't being allowed to float freely. So we're getting very low interest rates. And the thought process is that you either have to accept a very low interest rate on your money, or you must expect extremely high risk in order to be able to get a decent or a higher rate of return. And you have come up with some options other than that.
Well, I will say that I am so grateful that we were turned on to the alternative investment arena many, many years ago. And actually, probably a lot of our listeners don't even really know the background on this. So when I was literally straight out of college, my very first job was at a bank. And at banks at this time, so this is the late 80s, did not have investments. They did annuities, but that was really it. You know, the word investment in a bank just essentially meant a CD. And so the branch that I was in Scottsdale, Arizona, of a bank that is not really relevant, had a large clientele that did bridge loans as their investments. They did hard money lending, is often what it was called then and still is called the same today. You'll also hear the term occasionally mezzanine financing, implying something that's kind of in between. And that was their way to invest. And these were sometimes real estate people, but not always. They were business people, et cetera. And I was learning. My father-in-law was a stockbroker at the time, so I certainly knew that arena. I was learning about life insurance. I was learning about mutual funds. I was learning about annuities. And I was learning about hard money as if it was just a bridge loan environment that was normal. Like, lots of people did this because in my clientele at the bank, they did. And so I've really just taken that with me all along the way. And then, of course, after I got into more of the quote financial planning business, because that's what I started doing, I got indoctrinated into the idea of, oh no, the definition of an investment is the stock market. And truly, that's what people think. If you tell somebody that you're in the financial world or financial services, or you're an advisor, or, you know, financially inclined work is your focus, they immediately go to the stock market as the investment. And so fast forward to what I think now is about 12 or 15 years ago, when we were introduced to the idea of the life settlements, which a lot of our listeners know is our other favorite alternative investment. We, and now I'm going to include my husband, Todd Langford, who's the analytical one of the bunch. We just really were open-minded about it and dug in and figured out that, yeah, this really has some amazing opportunities, and how appreciative we are to have been introduced to the idea of a true alternative. So Todd Strobel, I have a question for you. Like, when somebody says alternative, and if you didn't know our perspective on it, what would you think they were talking about if they just said, hey, I'm looking for alternative investments?
Oil and gas.
Oil and gas is a really common one. Absolutely. You got another one?
My background is, I don't know, sort of similar to yours. I went to work for a life insurance company out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And my job was to invest life insurance dollars into mortgages. And we wanted to invest premium dollars in deals that we didn't have to stay in for a long period of time. So we could do 30-year amortizations, but we always ballooned in 5 years. And that was kind of my niche, is what I did was, you know, I found deals all over the country, and that's how I got into it, which is pretty much what a bridge loan is.
That's right. And it also leads me into the thing that I think most people think of when they hear the word alternatives. And that is the real estate investment trust arena. I get emails constantly from REITs, REIT, that are real estate investment trusts that are touted as being the alternative investment. And I always want to laugh because a REIT is truly still right back into the stock market, whereas the bridge loans, as a lot of our listeners know, are specifically tied to individual real estate or a pool of real estate, and they have absolutely nothing to do with what the stock market's doing. So here we are in what do we call this? Mid-2017. We're not quite into the summer yet, so spring of 2017, and the stock market is just amazing, and everybody's falling back in love with it again. And yet, a lot of our listeners are well aware that it is really high and it's propped up on some really shaky legs. And they're really hungry for alternatives. And I'm so grateful that we have them. And of course, one of our favorites is the life settlement arena. I've got a fun quote to read everybody from Lisa, which is the Life Insurance Settlement Association. They had a conference in New York City in the early part of the year. And one of the presentations there says, there are some favorable socioeconomic trends for industry participants, starting with the fact that consumer demand is increasing as more baby boomers retire and become more familiar with the life settlement option. And then this presenter, Scott Hawkins, which is VP at one of the research firms that handles life settlements, he also says, we're seeing investor interest shift to the secondary market for life insurance as an alternative investment asset class. And in that realm, he's meaning life settlements, because we know life insurance is not an investment. So it's so fun that this is becoming a more known option. And of course, one of the reasons we love it so much is the win-win-win environment of the investor getting a win, because you get nice low double-digit returns without loss of principal. The seller gets a great win because they get more money than they would have if they'd canceled their insurance policy. And of course, us as the advisor, we get a win as well, because we don't have to be on the phone with clients constantly worried about what the stock market's doing, et cetera. Now, Todd, wouldn't you say that the bridge loan has a triple win as well?
Absolutely. And that just reminds me of one of the biggest questions that we get asked is that, you know, which do you think I should be in, life settlements or bridge loans? And the answer is always yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not that you have to pick one or the other. And in most cases, depending upon the investor, we can enable them to do both.
Absolutely. And I think this is a good time to be clear on the fact that for us, the life settlement arena is all about growth. It is a medium-term investment. You want that money in there a good 7 to 10 years, though it may start to pay out in the fourth or fifth year. It's really a medium-term time frame. And there's truly no consistent cash flow off of it at all. Now, some funds are going to pay quarterly, et cetera, but it's just all over the board in terms of the cash flow. Whereas the bridge loans, though they too have the potential for those higher returns, the ones for the basic everyday investor are going to be more in the 7, 8, 9% range. And yet they provide nice, consistent monthly income. So that's always my question to a client is, okay, I have this money. Well, what do you want it to do? Do you want it to grow, or do you want it to create income? And that really helps define which of those two environments we're focused on. We love them both, of course, and it makes no difference to us. They're both completely viable, good options. And then we all have the third leg of the stool, if you will, which is the cash value of life insurance. And that's the place to store cash. That is your liquidity, your emergency slash opportunity fund. And so valuable to every family's economic environment, because that life insurance is truly the foundation with which you build the bridge loans and the life settlements that are our alternative investments. Although I guess really we view cash value of life insurance as an alternative to a place to store cash. It's an alternative to the savings accounts and the CDs and the money markets that are out there. So I don't know about you. I kind of like that. I like that all three of the things that we work with are alternatives.
I always try to bring something fun and stupid to our program. So not that this is a stupid thing or not, but the oldest living person in the world passed away today.
Interesting. Tell us more.
She was 117 and she was the last living person that was born in the 1800s.
Wow. That's a huge fact.
Can you imagine if she had life insurance?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. 117. So that's something for all of us 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 year olds to be thinking about, the longevity of us as a human race, especially somebody that's healthy, easily being out there in the teens and even 20s. You know, life insurance companies, they used to illustrate up to age 100, and now they illustrate up to 121 or 122, depending on the company. So, we'll just wish her well, and her family will trust that they're in good hands as well, and have it be a lesson to all of us that 117, that's the new top number.
Super. Well, before we leave, I know that you have some more information that you like to give our listeners, and I want to give you an opportunity to do that.
Absolutely. If you're curious more about the story of my background in the conversion from typical financial planning to the prosperity economic environment that we live in today, you can get more information about that. It is a helpful story because when you read it, you learn why there is so much focus still on typical financial planning. So you can get that story and a bunch of other goodies at the website partners, number 4, prosperity.com/ebook. There's an audio version available there, and it's not available anywhere else. You cannot get it on Amazon. So again, that's partners, number 4, prosperity.com/ebook.
And what's the price on that?
Zero. That is a gift to our listeners.
Super. Well, thanks so much, Kim Butler. This is No BS Money Guy, Todd Strobel for the Prosperity Podcast. Keep your questions coming in, and know we appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to the Prosperity Podcast. To take control of your money and have it work for you, visit us at partnersforprosperity.com. If you liked this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review.